From the heart of the Carolinas, a breath of fresh air, a voice of reason. This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Good Monday morning. Welcome to the broadcast. Good to be back with you. Wow, it has been a while, hasn't it? It's so good to be back with you to discuss the things that are going on in our world. And there's a lot that's been going on since last time I was here, actually before Christmas, in fact. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful start to the new year as well. You know, we always have these conversations about New Year's resolutions. Is that even a thing anymore? Does anybody even bother? I think as we get older, I suspect that we are less likely to do that. That's my thinking anyway. If you think another way, I would be very curious to hear your perspective. It's good to see a start of another year, and I think for so many people, this is just, with the year 2020, it's been such a challenging year, and I think the most challenging thing about it has been the coronavirus. And just having some time off to interact. And I assure you, I do this as carefully as possible. But it continues to be the COVID-19 crisis. It continues to weigh so heavily on everything. Came across a story a few days ago that I thought was really interesting. And as you know, we've got the ongoing vaccinations taking place in the United States and other countries, and hopefully this will mark the beginning of the end. But there's another story associated with this, reported by the UK Daily Mail. They're working with a drug that gives instant immunity. Right now, it's in the middle of trials in the United Kingdom. It's a new antibody therapy. It can actually stop people who have been exposed to COVID from becoming ill. And the hope is this could actually save millions of lives across the globe. The drug, holding the potential to be able to offer immediate and long-term protection to patients in cases where it would be too late to offer a vaccine. This is what I like about this. There's got to be a strategy, an ongoing strategy of hitting this from every single solitary direction, every direction. We have vaccinations to hopefully keep people from getting COVID-19 in the first place. But for people who are already there, that's what this is about. What they hope to do is to give this as an emergency treatment to hospital inpatients, care home residents, university students to help reduce the spread of the virus. So far, and this gives you an idea how early they are in this process, scientists from the University College London hospitals have only injected 10 people with this drug. 10 people. The hope is to use this as an emergency treatment and this would also help those who live with someone who has caught COVID or maybe been exposed to them. They can inject this drug to stop them from becoming infected, even if they've not had a coronavirus vaccine. So this is very, very early in this particular process. Very, very early. This trial, by the way, is called Storm Chaser. The aim is to trial this new treatment on 1,125 people globally. The participants receive 2 consecutive doses of the drug. And the hope is it provides protection from COVID-19 for between 6 months to a year. Now, scientists have also begun a second clinical trial named Provent to examine the use of the antibody for people who may not benefit from vaccines. Those are patients with a compromised immune system or those at increased risk of COVID-19 infection due to factors like age and existing conditions. They injected 10 people, including the medical staff, and university students as part of Storm Chaser. And they've entered Phase 3 trials. Now, key groups of this trial include healthcare workers, students who live in shared accommodation, patients who've been recently exposed to anyone with COVID-19, as well as those in long-term care facilities. Also the military, industrial staff, factory workers. Now, this particular antibody developed by AstraZeneca, which has also created a vaccine with Oxford University, that is awaiting approval for use. So this is a look at some of the things that are in the pipeline that I hope we can see sunset for at least all the death and destruction we've seen so far from the coronavirus. By the way, and I want to say this again, and I've expressed this before, but I think it's worth saying again. I am very deeply disturbed by all of the COVID denial that I've been watching on social media, continuing. You know, as I continue to see these horrible stories, in fact, there are a lot of people that I have seen post things just over the holiday about losing relatives to COVID-19. It's horrible. Now, can I just tell, for those of you who are very highly politically involved and engaged, And I just want to ask you a question. Is it somehow in a political attack upon you to acknowledge the reality of COVID-19? Is the recognition of this somehow a denial of your political values? I'm just raising this question because some of this just doesn't make any sense at all. But at the same time, I've also been very vocal in opposing what I've referred to as panic porn, because there's no place for that either. We need balancing stories, stories of encouragement, like this one. You need to know about Lucille Ransom, a woman who was told she tested positive for COVID-19. She wasn't worried, even though she was 103 years old. People older than 85 face the greatest risk for a severe COVID-19 case. This woman, Ms. Ransom, had already survived breast cancer at 80, recovered from two broken hips. She remembers the 1918 Spanish flu pandemic from her childhood. COVID-19, that's just another challenge to conquer. In fact, she didn't even want to admit that she had COVID. Just another thing to get through. She lives at a senior living community and assisted living facility. They've had outbreaks and deaths at that particular facility. She had a cough, muscle aches, a couple of COVID symptoms. And her daughter was really worried she wasn't going to survive. Makes you think a little bit about how she's 103. Makes you wonder if she's really going to make it through. Guess what? The symptoms never went beyond a cough and muscle aches. And after the isolation period was over, this 103-year-old woman, she is back to normal. How's that for a word of encouragement as we begin our broadcast on this Monday? Stay with us. My goodness. Look at some of the items here on the text line. Ah, boy. This is pretty funny. Where's JD and why are you? Who are you doing his show? That's pretty good. Vince, COVID's the common cold on steroids. They haven't made a vaccine for that yet. Don't get your hopes up. Also, this text line's really all over the map, especially on this particular subject. I'm amazed how death has become politicized in America, but for a nation that kills its children for convenience, we sure are acting like any life matters. Kind of intriguing, isn't it? A little bit later on, we will talk about the finalization of the 2020 election results. This texter is saying some pretty strong words. If Trump doesn't get certified for the 2020 election, I'm done. COVID was used to shove mail-in ballots down our throats. The fraud is rampant. I will never listen to talk radio again. Okay, maybe an hour of Rush a week. But that's it. It's too emotionally draining to try and fight for what is right and true when the game board is fixed. I think there are a lot of people in that place, and I've certainly seen and heard a lot of that over the last couple of weeks. Just a lot of intensity. And we'll hear some of that intensity as well on a phone call. We'll play an excerpt of that from the president. This is certainly drawing a lot of controversy as well. Now, before I go into that, because I will talk about this a little bit later on, I've expressed my view. I've expressed my view that it's time for evidence. Strong evidence to be presented somewhere, to a court, wherever. Otherwise, there's got to be a recognition that this thing is done. No matter how uncomfortable that reality is. And frankly, I've been watching a lot of unhinged people over the last couple of weeks, and I'm very concerned, frankly, about the mental health of a lot of people. But I restrain myself right now, because I will save those comments for a little bit later on when we listen to the president. In the first segment, we talked about some of the new treatments that are being tried in the United Kingdom. Mark, holding on the phone right now, would like to share some perspective on this with some background in that area. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast, Mark.
Hey, Vince. How you doing?
All right, sir.
Good. Where do I start? For brevity's sake, I may have to speak fast here. I also have a home appraiser coming in about 30 minutes, so got to clean up the man cave. But here's the deal. When this first came out, I'm a PhD pharmacologist, which is not a pharmacist, but we're the people that actually work in the labs to develop new drugs. I went to ECU School of Medicine to get that. Did a two-year postdoc at Eli Lilly for the guy who invented Prozac, and then worked for AstraZeneca for about 20 years. Now, I know how people love to pile on and bash Big Pharma, and I always get irritated with that. And I never bought into any of that, but here's the deal. On your radio station about 3 weeks ago, maybe it was on the Levin Show, not sure, I heard this little clip of a physician researcher who was testifying in Congress or somewhere. I didn't catch all of it. But he was talking and very passionately about how they used a drug. It's a drug called ivermectin. It's an old drug, it's generic for a long time. It's cheap. Nobody's going to make a lot of money off of it. Then I had my wife pull it up on a YouTube or something like that, and I watched this guy again and listened to it again. And I'm here to tell you that they've got like 1,500 patients. He's got a consortium of physicians and researchers that have looked into this. And this drug is almost as close to a miracle drug for this COVID as you can get if you believe everything he says. Now, I, like a lot of people, you can kind of tell people's motives. When they're talking, you can kind of look at them. Are they coming from the perspective of, oh, I'm going to be a billionaire if I get this thing to hit, or I'm going to be famous, or whatever. This guy was very passionate, and I could tell it was from the heart, and it was because he cares about patients. And so I didn't have any reason to believe this guy was trying to hoodoo anybody. And the data that he went over was astounding. Apparently, there's some countries in South America that are already jumping on this, and it's working out great. And I always thought I'd be the last person to say, Big Pharma, conspiracy, whatever. And I don't think it's an overt conspiracy, but it's kind of like, okay, researchers come up with something that will, inactivate this virus, okay? Well, you got to come up with something de novo. You got to come up with something new. That's how they make their money. They don't research the old drugs. And I can't believe in the 3 weeks since I've heard this even if this guy's only 25%, you know, true to what he says, if it's true, man, you could stop this thing tomorrow. And with a cheap, old, you know,
well-tested. Yes. Look, what is the name of this medication again?
Ivermectin.
Ivermectin.
It's an anti-helminthic. It's a drug that they use for worms and stuff like that. Doesn't get a lot of air time in medical school, pharmacology classes. You know, you don't see it a lot. But I was familiar with it. And I'm like, son of a gun. I mean, when this thing first came out as a pharmacologist, I thought, okay, you have old people, young people. They respond completely differently. What's the difference in their immune system? Exploit that difference with a drug. That was my perspective. I'm not into, I don't have anything against them, but the vaccines, it's not my bailiwick. And here's somebody that actually did that. I mean, when I say come up with a drug, I mean, go through the drugs you've already got.
Right. It makes sense.
Whatever.
That's a great starting place.
Right, absolutely. But it's no money in it. And
yep.
I'm starting to think, man. Maybe.
I hear you. And you've seen these contracts as well as I have. These contracts, huge, multi-billion-dollar contracts
absolutely.
With the government to supply these vaccines.
Absolutely.
And
Wall Street loves that when you know.
You darn well better believe it. Better believe it. Mark, I'd love for you to hold on the line because it'd be interesting to follow up with you at some point on issues similar to this. And I this is why I appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation on radio, because we meet so many interesting people who help to bring a sense of balance and clarity to things. And this is something we absolutely need. By the way, if you'd like to join the conversation here, the Ingalls Markets talk line, 800-928-1110. Don't forget, that's only on this program. So keep that in mind. 800-928-1110, Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 71307. In the spirit of sharing things that are encouraging, I saw a lot of social media posts. You know, it's really, this is one of the dangers of social media. I say this danger not as a horribly bad thing, but sometimes updates on stories can happen faster than usual. And so people are circulating old news. Did you hear the story about how the people who are making sanitizer and how they were going to be charged $14,000 fees? Well, there's some good news on that front, and media coverage had something to do with this. We'll talk about it and much more as we continue our Monday broadcast. Still coming to the broadcast, we're going to talk about an example of how good journalism works. Good journalism. It's really hard to find these days. Very hard to find, and more difficult to find government that is responsive once something really ridiculous is uncovered. We're going to talk about that coming up. Make sure I pronounce this name correctly. Is this Janie? Is that correct? Good morning and welcome.
Hi, it's Jamie.
Yes.
I was actually calling to see if you caught NBC Nightly News on Saturday night. It's just very difficult for me to believe that the CDC is saying that the flu virus is now down a historic 98%. And they were talking with a medical doctor who was in an ER setting who said they had treated zero cases of flu. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe COVID is a real sickness, a real disease, but I don't believe it's to the point that it has completely wiped out the flu, which started in November, is typically your flu season, November through February. And I'm just a bit puzzled that our own government, CDC, is saying that it's 98% down and some states having zero cases.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary, isn't it? And one of the answers, one of the answers I've heard about this is because of a lot of the sanitation practices that we're carrying out, the social distancing, the other things that we're doing, washing our hands, and the basically good hygiene is one of the major reasons in our desire to prevent COVID-19 spread that, at least what I've heard from the experts so far, they're saying this is the reason why the flu is down so significantly.
Who's to say that people didn't have the flu and just happened to get COVID and that's what killed them? You know, there's different ways to look at it. Are we looking at a government that's now trying to hit that number of 400, whatever?
Well, I think we're going to hit that number no matter what, Jane. There's no question about that. And I do share your concern about the politicization of this, because this has been profoundly abused as a subject for politics, and it's very unfortunate. I do appreciate your call, and it'll be interesting to get a perspective on this a few months down the road or a year down the road, because I think there are a lot of things that are going to have to be sorted out. We're going to have to figure out. I mentioned hygiene, and one of the important elements we have now, you know, there's really no good substitute for washing your hands well. That's really a priority. However, there are a lot of situations where you don't have access to a sink and soap, like in your car. I mean, it's a standard practice for me. In both cars, I have a bottle of sanitizer, just recognizing that I may need it. Maybe it's to have a meal on the run, whatever the reason behind it. I think a lot of people are in the same place. Do you remember the shortages of sanitizer? Remember back in March, you couldn't find sanitizer anywhere. And this is what's so great about America and the free market system. Because what happens in a circumstance when there is a strong demand? Well, you have businesses that decide, hey, there's a great demand out there. Let's make more, or let's make sanitizer in the first place. We've never done this before. So a lot of people have gotten in on the act. Imagine their shock when they found out they might have to pay $14,000 in fees. Yes, this story developed last week. And one media agency, Reason Magazine, may be largely responsible for seeing an end to this fine. Craft distillers here in America, many of them quite panicked when they saw the potential of having to pay $14,000 in fees. Well, thanks to media coverage, including at Reason, of this unexpected and substantial fee imposed by the Food and Drug Administration on distillers who pivoted to produce much-needed hand sanitizer, the federal government reversed course on what would have been a devastating blow to small businesses. Now, big companies, it's no big deal. They can afford $14,000. But small businesses, this would be devastating. As you know, in the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, many distillers shifted their production from spirits to hand sanitizer. This was in compliance with emergency guidance from the FDA. Much of the sanitizer was donated or sold at a low margin, helping to alleviate a dire shortage. By the way, I don't know if you've seen what's happening in stores now. There is sanitizer everywhere. Everybody's selling it. Now, these same distilleries were quite surprised when they got a notice from the FDA informing them they're required to pay a fee of more than $14,000 as over-the-counter drug production facilities to cover the costs of FDA regulation. Don't you just love government bureaucracy? Well, after these news stories got out there, the Department of Health and Human Services reversed the policy in a statement posted to Twitter. Brian Harrison, who's the HHS chief of staff, said small businesses who stepped up to fight COVID-19 should be applauded by their government, not taxed for doing so. I'm pleased to announce we have directed FDA to cease enforcement of these arbitrary surprise user fees. Happy New Year, distilleries. And cheers to you for helping to keep us safe. This is hilarious, too, because in a longer statement, HHS leadership distanced itself from the initial policy. This action was not cleared by HHS leadership, who only learned of it through media reports. HHS leadership convened an emergency meeting to discuss the matter, requested an immediate legal review. The HHS Office of the General Counsel has reviewed the matter and determined the manner in which the fees were announced and issued has the force and effect of a legislative rule. Only the HHS Secretary has the authority to issue legislative rules. Now, I want to stop there just for a moment. Does that sound constitutional to you? Issue legislative rules. Who should be doing legislation? We've talked about this ad nauseum. Only Congress. But you've got these bureaucratic agencies that have been given the power to make rules, frankly, to make law. So the fact that they have the ability to do this in the first place, it's an abomination. But I digress. In this statement, the statement says the HHS secretary would never have authorized such an action as in this user fee during a time in which the department is maximizing its regulatory flexibility to empower Americans to confront and defeat COVID-19. Wasn't this wonderful? At least they're doing the right thing, recognizing that the way to go is not the pathway of regulation and running small businesses out of business. It's just pretty darn foolish that this was even put out there in the first place. Coming up, speaking of money, we're going to talk about someone who did something really extraordinary over the holiday season. Person I admire very much so. That and much more on our Monday broadcast. Stay with us. Doesn't this text really share the heart of where so many people are right now? I don't trust anyone or any source of information anymore. It's going to take a while to get my attention. I fully understand where you're coming from. Who do you believe? This texter says, it cracks me up listening to you. You actually believe all this hygiene crap is killing the flu virus? The stuff you buy into is laughable. But I was explaining the distilleries, how many of them have gotten in on the act of providing sanitizer. This person says, no wonder sanitizer has been smelling like cheap tequila. If only the hand sanitizer people changed to toilet paper, we couldn't wipe for 4 months. Oh, my goodness. If this were not reversed, this texture says, wait and see if any small distiller attempts to help the government ever again. Yeah. Understandable. Such a high level of suspicion, really, about every piece of information out there. I want to share another encouraging story. I mentioned about finances and the holiday. It was actually a listener who brought this to my attention, our friend Joey Deese, the pastor in Rock Hill. So I had to look this story up, and I just thought this was so cool. Because, especially when you hear the story, those of you familiar with Dave Ramsey and his journey, and this is a guy who has helped millions of people, and I would dare say you've saved lives in the process in more ways than one. And it's a cool story of redemption, and you'll hear part of it because he shares a little bit of his story. But here's what they've done. They've cleared $10 million worth of debt, medical and car debt, total of 8,000 people. How's that for a Christmas present? It's really a good one. Here are the comments from Dave Ramsey explaining this recently on Fox News Channel.
Well, we're trying to come up with something creative to do. We have usually have this outlandishly wonderful Christmas party for our 960 so odd people on our team. And we just decided to cut the budget back this year because obviously doing that in a traditional way wasn't going to work this year. And so we used some of that money to do something fun. My wife Sharon and I went broke 30 years ago. We lost everything. And that's how I started teaching people about money and teaching people to get out of debt. So I know how it feels to have collectors call you and bother you and how the the shame that goes with that and the condemnation that goes with that. And this year has been really tough for people. We've had divisiveness on the political front, on the racial front, mask or no mask. We've had everybody in the world find something to be angry about and arguing about. So we decided instead, since God sent his son Jesus to forgive our debts, our sins, that we would buy $10 million worth of old medical debt and old credit card debt and old car repossession debt. Now you can buy that at pennies on the dollar, so I didn't pay $10 million for it, but we used some of our Christmas budget money from the company to do that, and it was 8,000 accounts and $10 million worth. Mm-hmm. So our team was able to call about eight people each and talk to them and tell them that their debt was forgiven, and it was fun.
That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Wouldn't it be fun to do something like that? Just to call, hey, I know you had this debt and it's probably on your mind, but I got good news for you. It's gone. And, you know, and this is also wonderful about Dave Ramsey, tying this again to the gospel. This is really important that it's not just a do-gooder kind of mission, but he's given an example of how, through Jesus, our debts are paid. Our spiritual debt is paid. Our debt of sin is paid. And for us, it's free. And the same way, he's not going to these people and say, okay, now join my organization. No, it's completely free. This is something I want you to be free from. And congratulations. What a wonderful way to demonstrate the gospel. By living it out. Kind of a novel idea, isn't it? I certainly think so. Before we go to break, I'm going to set the table for a discussion we will have in the next hour. Now, I'm thinking at this point, because of the length of the audio that I want to share, that we probably should not go into this yet. Let me just tell you, just a preamble to what I will talk about coming up in the next hour. We have some additional business and conversation that we need to go into about the 2020 election. I've told you what my perspective is. I am not at all excited. In fact, I think it's going to be absolutely dreadful to have a President Biden. I don't want a President Biden. I did not vote to see a President Biden. But I've expressed frustration the past few weeks when you have a series of court losses over and over and over again, and your message, the hype that you put out about evidence, is nowhere near the substance of the evidence that would need to be presented to turn this around. It's a problem. And I'm really frustrated for the millions of people who are still beating this drum, and they're listening to people beating this drum, only to, in my view, very likely end up with a great deal more disappointment and disillusionment. You know, I'm trying to, let me see if I can find a text that someone sent just a few minutes ago, because they were making a point here that they were just giving up. There's no sense in voting. And this is one of the concerns I have about where we are. This person says, Vince, the evidence is there in the form of hundreds of sworn affidavits. Problem is, no judge has the spine to look at it. Is that really it? Really? And you're talking even Trump-appointed judges. Coming up, we're going to hear from the president and that call that's gotten a lot of attention from the media. I will tell you my take on that, and I'd love to get your perspective as well. Stay with us.
From the heart of the Carolinas, affirming life, liberty, and property for all, resisting false narratives.
We are trained Marxists.
And exposing the true dangerous agenda of radical groups.
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.
Hour number two of our broadcast, and I want to go to something that I've communicated really a number of times in the past few weeks, and I've really tried to communicate this consistently for quite some time. And it was probably Rush who I first heard vocalize this perspective, that to Democrats, politics is religion. It really is. And basically, if somebody has an alleged perspective that is religious, they have their beliefs, their convictions. For many Democrats, their political ideology transcends their spiritual values. It's upside down. That's the problem. I've been watching this for quite some time, and I do not hesitate to say this at all. But the same things happen to a lot of Republicans. Politics transcends spiritual values. And it's obsessive. It really is. I've been watching this. Really disturbing to watch this. On the text line, by the way, Vince, no judge has heard any evidence referring to the election. No judge has heard any evidence, period. The cases are dismissed based on clerical errors, like no standing. No evidence has been presented. But yet you're a liar with a bunch of morons listening to you. I pray every day you get taken off the air. This is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This borders on, and I don't hesitate to say this at all, this borders on mental illness, the obsession, because I think it begins with Donald Trump and his obsession to win. I'm not saying winning is a bad thing, but I'm saying so many people are so emotionally, physically, and every way possible invested in this man, they can't see straight. And I've been warning about this for years. And now I'm watching this descend into greater depths of just insanity. Then you have texters like this one. Hello, Vince. Just wondering when and if you or anyone else will be establishing a new Republican Party called MAGA. I'm ready now to write a check. My goodness. I came to the conclusion quite some time ago that I don't think we have the building blocks to even re-begin. You know, we talk about the founders and the original documents. I don't believe people, even the people who profess to believe those documents, I don't think many people really care for those documents much anymore. I think many of the folks who call themselves Republicans and conservatives, they're just anti-liberal. That's it. Just anti-liberal. And frankly, that is not enough to save and restore this country. It'll never work. Some ideology built around a man, a personality, a party, it's not going to help. All it's going to do is lead to more confusion, more division, more destruction, and ultimately to dissolution. Because we can't continue like this. There's no healthy building blocks here. But contempt. Contempt for people who disagree with me. This is what the Democrats have been living and doing for years, and now so many Republicans have jumped on the same bandwagon. Without going down this road, I want to quickly get to the story that's drawing a lot of attention, the conversation that the president had with Georgia's Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger. Now, we're just going to play a short clip, and I understand this conversation lasted about an hour. We're going to play a short clip, and I'm going to just share my thoughts. Because like so many other things, I'm not even interested in the nitty-gritty and the content, the full content, context. I get all of that. I will tell you where I stand on this after we listen to just a portion of the phone call of this conversation. Listen up.
We have won this election in Georgia based on all of this. And there's nothing wrong with saying that, Brad. You know, I mean, the people of Georgia are angry. And these numbers are going to be repeated on Monday night, along with others that we're going to have by that time, which are much more substantial even. And the people of Georgia are angry. The people of the country are angry. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. You know, that you've recalculated.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
Now, do you think it's possible that they shredded ballots in Fulton County? Because that's what the rumor is. And also that Dominion took out machines. That Dominion is really moving fast to get rid of their machinery. Do you know anything about that? Because that's illegal.
This is Ryan Germany. No, Dominion has not moved any machinery out of Fulton County. We're having
have they moved the inner parts of the machines and replaced them with other parts?
No.
You sure, Ryan?
I'm sure.
You should want to have an accurate election. And you're a Republican.
We believe that we do have an accurate election.
No, I know you don't. No, you don't. You don't have. Not even close. You're off by hundreds of thousands of votes. You know what they did, and you're not reporting it. That's a criminal offense. And you know, you can't let that happen. That's a big risk to you and to Ryan, your lawyer. That's a big risk. But they are shredding ballots, in my opinion, based on what I've heard. And they are removing machinery, and they're moving it as fast as they can, both of which are criminal fines, and you can't let it happen, and you are letting it happen. You know, I mean, I'm notifying you that you're letting it happen. So, look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state.
All righty. Mr. President, just a segment of the conversation. And just as I expected, the trolls are already at work here. Only insane is you. Just betting you are not military. No guts, no glory, no USA. You can have all the guts and all the glory you want. But if you're not building anything of substance other than a cult of personality, this country will not stand. Can I say this again? This country will not stand being built around any individual in this country. That's what's going on here. This texter said the mindset of people supporting Trump is crazy. I pray that after January 21st, this country is still stable. You better do some serious praying. I'd love to get your thoughts as we continue the conversation. Stay with us. We'll talk about absolutely predictable. I have some breaking news to tell you about. Ah, my goodness. NBC News reporting, Democrats are asking the FBI Director Wray. They want him to open a criminal probe into Trump after that leaked phone conversation between the president and the Georgia Secretary of State. Here is what Representatives Ted Lieu and Kathleen Rice have written in a letter to the FBI director. As members of Congress and former prosecutors, we believe Donald Trump engaged in solicitation of or conspiracy to commit a number of election crimes. We ask you to open an immediate criminal investigation into the president. And you heard what the president said there. All I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes. Because we won the state. You heard that portion of the audio. Let me just tell you my take on this whole conversation. And there are people, and I've seen the posts, and I've heard some of the comments here and there. Here's where I stand on this. I don't care about the conversation. The content of the conversation really matters little to me. What concerns me is the conversation took place in the first place. And I know there are a lot of people who are going to be ticked off at me about this. But this is where I stand. This man is absolutely possessed. Possessed and obsessed with staying in power. On one level, would I be disappointed that he is able to pull this off? No. On the other hand, I don't see a path forward. I really don't. That's going to change the results that we've heard about now for weeks. I don't see it. Now, you can talk all you want about fighter this and fighter that. There comes a point, though, when you have to recognize when you have lost. And I think we've been there for quite some time. This deeply concerns me. It really does. Because all of this means way too much to many of us. I do not believe, for one minute, if we want to talk about the founders, not just the words that were written, but the spirit of the founders, I do not think that the priority, the obsession with the president was ever intended by the founders. But this is where we are. I have a friend who's written a book called The Coming Caesars, referring to the United States presidency. This is where we are as a country. We are essentially turning this country into a monarchy. You can say whatever you want about the Constitution and about how this person does this or that for you. The truth of the matter is, we have had an obsession with the presidency. We have three branches of government. And the people, frankly, who are doing the most damage to our republic every single day, other than the bureaucrats, the people still doing the damage, they're in the House and Senate. And many of you reelected them. No amount of presidential power will compensate for the stupid mistakes that we have made and our choice of legislators. I don't need to name names. You ought to know by now, because I think I've been very clear here. See, and I think there are a lot of people talk about saving the country, restoring the country, and I don't even think people know what that means. I don't think people even begin to know what that means. I'd love to get your thoughts, because I know a lot of you may have contrary thoughts. Let's go first out to Rick in Charlotte. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, sir.
Great. My main concern is just very simple. I think it is the changes that were made right prior to the election day that the governor and the secretary of state made. In my opinion, those votes and those votes alone should not have been counted or allowed to count. I'm sure that's probably up to the courts. But when the legislature did not approve it, had the Republicans, I don't understand why they did this, why they allowed this to happen other than the scared of the Democrats. But those votes should not have been allowed to have been counted. I think it's that simple. The folks may have voted that did vote in their opinions or in their feelings that they were voting legitimately, but those were not legitimate votes if those changes were made without the legislature's approval.
I'm with you, man. I think a lot of this has happened. You know, here's the crazy thing. Rick, do you know that a majority of our legislatures are controlled by Republicans?
Yes. Yeah.
And do you know that? I mean, let's get real about this. We elected them.
No, they're cowards.
Well, you can call them whatever you want, but this, again, this obsession, this stuff has been building up, and the plans for this have been put together over the past year. And frankly, the time for the pushback on this was back when this stuff was going on, not after the fact. And now the stakes are even higher and the courts are even less likely to step into this after the fact. This is where we find ourselves. I'm not saying it's a good place. I'm saying this is just reality. So in reality, do you think at this point there is any hope of changing the results at all?
I do not see how. I'm afraid we're stuck.
Yeah,
simply stuck with what they have failed to do because too many Republicans talk with no action.
Yep, I'm there with you. This goes from top to bottom. And again, I have warned about this for years. While everybody's possessed and obsessed about Donald Trump, guess what, folks? How about your secretaries of state? How about your boards of election? There are so many levels of government power that have frankly just been ignored. And people have this crazy idea the president's going to fix everything. The president, even the best of presidents, cannot fix everything. Cannot do it. Misplaced hope is a lot of what I see here. Cheryl, good morning. Welcome.
Yes. Listen, I agree with you 100%. I mean, it's just gotten out of hand. And here's the thing. Pat Robertson, a Christian leader, said, it's over. Let's move on. You know, a lot of elections have flaws. All of them have had flaws in the past. Nobody's really challenged them, but they've had flaws. But it's not enough to overturn an election, okay? Let's be real. And also, when you get your big churches like the one in Pineville that are doing Fox News articles, doing Bible study, these people have become obsessed. They're not really Christians. They're Trump lovers or Trump gods. You know, God is their Trump is their God. Okay, let's put it that way. Trump is their God because Jesus is the reason for everything. And if you put Trump ahead of Jesus, that's a big problem. And I think the 501c certification should be examined right now.
Well, Cheryl, let me say this, because I do think, in all fairness, do you not think the same thing happened for 8 years under Barack Obama?
Well, I don't think that there was enough cheating going on.
No. I'm not talking about cheating. I'm talking about idolatry. I'm talking about leader work. Cheryl, you're out of your mind. I knew we were going to flush this out. But that's exactly what's the same thing. For 8 years, Barack Obama was God. And there are people who exalted him as such. We've got to be fair-minded about this, folks. Back on the broadcast, over on the text line, this texter says, glad you're back. Happy New Year. Thanks for calling a spade, idolatry and all. Yes, we've got to be consistent about this. And I'm saying this, many of you Republicans, you know who you are. You watched the same thing I watched, the idolatry, the racializing of everything. You saw it and you complained about it. But now, the shoe's on the other foot. And what we're watching now is the painful death. The painful death of this idolatrous mission. It doesn't give me pleasure to say this, and I know a lot of people are ticked off. This texter said the only people that think Trump is some kind of god are the people forcing him out. The people of Greenville simply like and have benefited from the Trump presidency. I'm not trying to take that away from you. I had a conversation with a dear lady just the other day. You know, we had it was a very spirited conversation. She was very defensive. And I know, because I have these conversations all the time. And the sad thing is, when you are in it, when you are in idolatry, you rarely recognize that's what you're in. People from the outside can see it very clearly. Very clearly. By the way, the irony is, this person I talked to the other day, she is so terribly disillusioned, she's not sure she's going to continue to participate in politics. I'm telling you, this is where some of this leads. It's a hard fall because our eyes are on the wrong person. And I don't care who you are, Democrat, Republican, if your eyes are on any human being, if your eyes are fixed on anybody other than Jesus Christ himself, you're going to have a problem in the real world. This is not to defend anything that happened in this election. This is not to excuse anything that happened. This is to recognize reality. This person says everyone should go to Washington, D.C. by Wednesday. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. TrumpMarch.com. Going to D.C. Trump speaking at 11. This opens at 7. I'm leaving in the morning. This person saying Trump has 4 more years. They tried to steal it. Another person, I don't understand you. What is it you do not understand? I thought I've been very, very clear here. And we also have this, folks. A lot at stake here. Georgia, the Senate runoffs. Talk about a lot at stake. David Perdue, Kelly Loeffler. Against Democrats, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock. You've heard the most about Raphael Warnock. This guy, there's no other way to put it. This guy is, he's a Marxist. Can we just recognize, and let me just say this again. Can we just recognize in this country that Marxism is on the rise? That's the reality. And you've got people who either embrace Marxism or people who are so profoundly ignorant, they will vote for this guy. And many of them already have. I don't know how this is going to turn out tomorrow. I sure hope that the Republicans take both these seats. If they do not, this is going to be ugly, really ugly. On the election front as well, the challenge that is expected to take place to the election results, a third member of the House here in North Carolina has jumped on board. Richard Hudson, he's a Republican out of Concord, announced yesterday. As you know, we have a new Congress. So Richard Hudson now joins Madison Cawthorn of Western North Carolina and Ted Budd, who have previously announced they would object to the election results. So that is just a couple of days away. So how optimistic are you? For those who are supporting this, how optimistic are you that this challenge that will take place in Washington, D.C. will bear any fruit for your cause? Daniel in Charlotte, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. How are you?
All right, sir.
I just want to comment. I think your take is wrong that we're idolaters or people. You're just chugging a lot of us.
I did not call you. Hold on just a second. Before you even get started, hang on just a second. I'm going to give you your time. I did not call you an idolater. If you accept that label, you have accepted that as something I did not give to you. But go ahead.
It was a general thing. So let me explain. Trump is an embodiment of something that you may not understand, and let me tell you what we understand. It is, he fights for America, he fights for jobs here, he fights for our Constitution, and so on and so forth. And now, I'm going to tell you what the problem here is. It's not just equally, we can let it go, it was just a little bit of fraud, no big deal. Listen, our democracy and our liberties and our Constitution is over because the Democrats, along with apparently Dominion and other people, have stolen this election in the middle of the day. I mean, this was so obvious. I can understand that there are some irregularities here and there. Have you not seen that 5 states stopped counting at exactly 1:30 at the same time, that they do not want to let the Dominion machines be analyzed, that we have millions and millions of unsolicited, not hundreds, millions and millions of unsolicited absentee votes sent out, that the constitution of these states was trashed over the legislature of the states, which you're right, are Republicans, but a Democrat governor and a secretary of state in most states have sent out and made rules the way they wanted to 2-3 months before the election was taking place. Why are you just ignoring that and not realizing that?
Why? Who's ignoring this? I've talked about those things on this broadcast. They're not being ignored. Here's my question. What is to be done about it? And that's my question for you today. What is the solution?
The solution is the following. The state legislatures have heard already evidence, clear evidence of this fraud, and I expect them to, since they already sent votes, delegates for the Republicans also, to give their votes to the Republicans in view of the massive fraud that was committed. And I'm hoping that on the 6th, this massive fraud once again will be displayed by Trump's attorneys.
Okay, we'll see. And again, I'm still open to actually showing up on the battlefield that really counts. And if they do and they win, God bless them.
This is the Vince Coakley radio program.